This is Health Matters, insights from WCH medical experts. Thanks so much for joining us. I'm Joey Waller. Our guest, Dr. Peter Waller, a general surgeon. Hi, Dr. Waller. Welcome back.
Hi, Joey. Nice to see you.
Absolutely. Same here. So we're talking colon cancer screening, which can mean the difference literally between life and death. And we're not being melodramatic there, right? So explain to those joining us, please, why that's the case.
Well, what we're really talking about is preventative care here and screening. Screening for colon cancer is a very legitimate and serious thing that all patients need to consider if they meet the right criteria. Cancer has been such a nemesis of our health for years. There's a lot of cancers that have gotten worse, and colon cancer in specifically has now risen and is the number one cause of cancer deaths in under 50-year-olds. And it's been going up every year. And that's what's really scary about it. And so the reason we advocate for the cancer screening is to literally prevent death. Because if you can get this stuff early enough, you can literally save lives.
Absolutely. And so you alluded to criteria. Now, the gold standard, of course, for screening is a colonoscopy. So when should most people start getting that done regularly? Because the age for that has changed in recent years. They're sort of the minimum suggested age, right?
Yeah, Joe, you're absolutely right. It used to be that the age to recommend screening for colon cancer was 50 years of age. Now, because of the increased risk of younger people getting it, it's now dropped down to 45 years for an average risk patient. So someone 45 years or older, this average risk is recommended to get a colonoscopy by the American Cancer Society and the CDC. If someone is a higher risk or increased risk, then that may change. Certainly family history matters. Other medical problems may matter. And certainly if someone's having symptoms like rectal bleeding or change in bowel habits or unexplained weight loss or anemia, those might be other reasons that we might proceed with a colonoscopy at an earlier age.
You mentioned high risk and family history playing a role. So how important is it for people to be aware of whether colon cancer or any colon issues run in the family?
Yeah, I mean, your family history is really important, especially when it comes to cancer. Anyone that has a family history of clear colon cancer or pre-malignant polyps should be talking to their doctor to address when screening is appropriate. Anyone with Lynch syndrome, which is a syndrome that people get multiple polyps. And the bottom line is the more polyps you have or the larger those polyps can be, the more risk there can be that might change to cancer at some point. And those are the patients that are in that higher risk category that probably need to be screened earlier and a little more frequently.
And I'm going to ask you about polyps in just a moment or two. But first, what about screening alternatives to a colonoscopy? There are some other options, even though they're not considered as good, as accurate, or as thorough, right?
Yeah, what you're referring to is a test called the Cologuard test, or not to be crude, but people call it the poop in the box test. And what that is, that's been around for a number of years. I'm not going to say it's equivalent to getting a colonoscopy, but it has reduced the need for some procedures. And what it is the patient gives a stool sample, and that stool sample is tested for little fragments of DNA and blood in it. And that can be an indicator that there's something going on. It doesn't mean that you have cancer if that test is positive, but it means that there's some sort of finding in there that might be relevant and that you need a colonoscopy. So that is a potential alternative tool. I do not feel personally, in my medical opinion, that it replaces colonoscopy. I feel that once you're of screening age, everyone should get at least one baseline colonoscopy. And then if you were an average risk patient and had no other symptoms and didn't want to get your colonoscopy every 10 years, that the Cologuard every 3 or 4 years would be appropriate. But again, if that Cologuard test is negative, it doesn't mean that you're free in the clear. It can miss up to 8% of cancers if you actually have it. And even if it's positive, you need a colonoscopy anyway. So it has value, but it needs to be kept in perspective to what the patient's risk is and whether they've had baseline studies or not.
Understood. So for those unfamiliar who haven't had it done in particular, can you describe for us in a nutshell, what is a colonoscopy? What do you go through? Because I've had it done multiple times, and I always say it's really one of the most simple procedures that anyone can get done, right?
It is, Joe. You're absolutely right. No one likes the idea of a colonoscopy because what it simply is we take a camera up your backside to look at your colon. And no one likes that idea. But in this day and age, It's done under what we call moderate sedation. So you're asleep for the whole thing. You do not remember anything. You do not feel anything. And when you wake up, you didn't even know what happened. You might feel a little gassy, but there's no sensation that anyone was working down there. And you basically lose time and it's really easy. I've had mine, of course, just like you. And with all that I know in the medical and surgical field, I was nervous about it. But once I did it, it was just like you said, it was super easy. And it's really easy to recommend once you've done it once because of how well it's tolerated. But it can save your life and it's worth it.
Yeah, as you touched on earlier. And by the way, the first time I had it done, I remember that in the room where it was happening, they had some soft music playing. The anesthesiologist said, okay, we're going to let you relax right now. And the next thing I knew, I still heard the music. We were still in the room. And I said, so when are we going to start? And they said, we're done.
Yep.
It went by like that. I went to sleep. I woke up and I didn't even know that that 20 or 30 minutes had gone by. That's how simple it is. You don't even know.
Yep. It's impressive. And the actual procedure part is not the hardest part of it as we're getting to here. If there is a hard part, it can be the night before, which involves the bowel prep. And what that means is basically we have to clean your colon out so we can get a good look on the inside. And so usually the day before, you're on clear liquids or water, and then you start the bowel prep, which is drinking some kind of sweet flavored fluid in a fairly large amount, and that kind of washes you out. So you need to kind of stay by the toilet that night. And that's what patients describe as the hardest part. Most people tolerate that very well. There's a couple different bowel preps that can work well. The old-fashioned one, well, which we call the go lightly prep, used to be like a gallon of sweet fluid. And that probably was the one that was not tolerated the best and what people had bad memories of. But these days, there's a couple other options that are less volume and even pills and small amount of liquids with water that are much better tolerated by the patients. I actually think the most common bowel prep that we use, and I use it in my patients, is using Gatorade. We have the patient buy a couple bottles of Gatorade, mix a bunch of doses of Miralax, which is an over-the-counter laxative, and take some Ducalac tabs. And that's a very easy way to clean your bowels out in preparation for colonoscopy.
Wow, I did not know that. And as you said, Doc, for most people, that process, the night before, the morning before, it's really much more challenging than the procedure itself.
The other hardest part is not eating or drinking maybe after midnight until your procedures. And so people wake up from that colonoscopy, as you described, didn't even know what hit them. And they're just saying, take me to breakfast because I'm hungry.
Yeah, the one saving grace is you just keep in the back of your mind, what am I going to eat when this is all done? And that kind of keeps you going. Few other things. A colonoscopy can help find colon cancer, as we've touched on, but how about the other less serious issues that can be revealed during one, like a polyp, which you mentioned earlier?
Sure. So again, most of colonoscopies are done to rule out that most serious finding, which could be a cancer or a polyp that was going to go to cancer. And polyps in themselves are a quite common finding from colonoscopy. And thankfully, most polyps that we do find are not precancerous. So if you get a colonoscopy and you hear you have a couple polyps, it's not the end of the world. It just means to say, hey, you might want to keep an eye on this. If someone does have polyps, we recommend every 3 to 5 years, depending on the polyp. But again, if the polyp's large, then there's more risk that that might turn into something later. I would say that 99% of polyps are benign and are not a problem. There can be some other things that we find on colonoscopy. Diverticular disease or diverticulosis is quite a common finding. And what this is you have to remember that your colon or your large intestine is a muscular tube. And as it pushes the stool through down to be evacuated, the pressure in that tube can be high in certain places and put stress on the wall. And with our diets of not enough fiber and our ultra-processed foods that's not maybe best for our digestive system, that food leftover or stool in there can make it hard for the colon and it has to work overtime. And so the pressure in there can get high enough that these little pockets or bubbles pop up called diverticuli to various degrees just from our Western diets of not enough fiber. Now, the presence of those is not a big deal. We often see them on colonoscopies. But again, if you have a lot of them and they get plugged up, you can start having symptoms from them where you can have constipation or even abdominal pain or diarrhea. They can get inflamed or infected. And that's what we call diverticulitis. So anyone that has diverticulitis, will be treated with antibiotics, and then we'll recommend a colonoscopy 6 weeks later after that to get a look at all these this benign process and make sure we're not missing anything and there's no polyps within that as well that could be problems later.
There's diverticulitis and diverticulosis, and that's yet another example, Doc, of the many different things that a general surgeon like you needs to be aware of, right?
Yeah. As we've talked before at some of our other podcasts, general surgeons do a lot of things. And in places that don't have GI physicians, for instance, my hospital does not have a GI department. So the general surgeons are the ones that do all the endoscopy, the upper endoscopy and the colonoscopy. And it was actually surgeons that invented the scopes, and some of the other fields have adopted it. But it's still a big part of my practice is screening, diagnostic screening with colonoscopies, because some of the stuff is so common.
And so in summary here, for those joining us that may be putting off a colonoscopy, maybe they've not yet had one and they're overdue, maybe they have had one and they're due for another, if they're procrastinating, what's most important for them to know?
If you keep up with your preventative care and you're up to date with these straightforward, minimal risk procedures, that it literally can save your life. And we tell patients, if you're not going to do it for yourself, then do it for your family. Right? They don't want to have you go through that. They want you to be around for a long time. And it's kind of a no-brainer when you really look at the data that it can literally save lives by nipping things in the bud early. And it's pretty clear that when you find cancers early, that the prognosis is significantly better.
Absolutely. Well, folks, we trust you're now more familiar with colon cancer screening. Dr. Lawler, thanks so much again, as always.
Thanks, Joey.
And to learn more about surgeries offered at Wood County Hospital, we ask that you visit woodcountyhospital.org and simply search surgery. If you found this podcast helpful, please do share it on your social media. I'm Joey Waller. Thanks so much again for being part of Health Matters, insights from WCH Medical Experts.